And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company at its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Not Even Ten, was written by Joseph Mindell. It is the second of 15 outstanding programs originally presented on The Eternal Light, recreated now to mark The Eternal Light's 15th year of broadcasting.
Smoke rolled up toward the hills from the cities of the plain. And they were no longer cities, but blackened stones and the rubble of houses and the smell of fire and the great silence of desolation. In all the empty places, there were no living beings to be seen, none, to tell the story and to say to us who wait in our own time, this happened here. Now you look to your cities. One by one, from different directions, three people came slowly over the plain. When they met, looking with empty eyes at the ruins, they stood together for a long time before they spoke to each other.
I know you. You are Tubal, the baker.
My shop used to be right here on this spot.
My name is Milka. I used to buy your bread every day.
It was good bread.
Was it? My wife used to say, Anna, why don't you buy some good bread? But of course, we lived on the other side of the city.
I understand.
You can see where our house used to be, just to the left of that column that's still standing way off in the distance. Do you see it, Tubal?
I see it.
No, wait, it's to the right of the column. Now I'm not sure.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it matters. It's very important.
What are you making a fuss about, Anna?
Well, a man has to be sure where he lives.
All right. Look around you. Go on, look carefully. Where do you live?
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, Anna.
It's not your fault.
And whose?
What do you mean, Tubal?
The city was destroyed. Why?
Well, that's a foolish question. Things happen.
No. There's a reason.
It rains, a bird drops from the sky, a city is destroyed. You don't ask why. Things happen.
This is different, Anna. A whole city with all of its people, and we were spared. Why? Don't you see, we have to know now before it's too late. Don't you...
What is it? Why did you stop?
Well, he said it. The stranger said it. Soon it will be too late, he said. Anna, Milka, did you see him yesterday in the city?
There are always strangers in the city.
He was tall, very tall, and his eyes were deep and angry.
It could be 100 other men, but, Tubal, I think I know whom you mean. But his eyes were... they were troubled. I saw him in the market.
It was yesterday. He came to my shop and he waited his turn with the others, watching the bread come out of the oven. The market was noisy with the cries of the peddlers and haggling over prices.
I've eaten nothing since this morning. Your bread smells fresh and good, baker.
Go away.
I'm not asking for charity.
You're a stranger.
I only want to buy a loaf of bread.
Even strangers know the laws of our city.
I come from a long way off.
The law prohibits selling bread to strangers.
It's a cruel law.
Well, the punishment for breaking it is even more cruel. Now go on your way, stranger.
Baker, I'm hungry.
Charity is also forbidden. Now go away, I tell you.
Tubal, give me two loaves of bread if you can tear yourself away from the stranger.
Don't say such things. Two loaves.
That's it. Thank you.
Well, you're still here.
Your laws are evil.
They aren't my laws, and I didn't say that I approved of them. I only obey them. Well, no one heard me.
I heard you.
Look, for my sake as well as yours, please, move on. People are beginning to notice how long we've talked.
I haven't finished yet.
Look, if you don't like our city, why don't you go back where you came from?
Soon I will. But first, there's something I must do.
You're not afraid, are you?
No. Should I be?
Well, strangers always are in this city. Where did you say you came from?
I didn't say.
But it's a long journey.
Very long. Here, Tubal. A loaf of bread fell from the counter.
Thanks. I suppose you have no such laws where you live.
We are not afraid.
It must be pleasant to live without fear.
You dropped the bread again.
So I did. Stranger, you're slow-witted. I can't sell you bread or give it to you. But if you find the loaf...
Tubal! What sort of world is it that kindness must be done under the counter?
You have told me. It's an evil world. But maybe we will learn.
There isn't time. Tubal, soon it will be too late. Will you tell me, please, where I can find the house of a man named Lot?
You're a stranger in the city, aren't you?
That's why I ask.
Who sold you the bread you're carrying? Point him out so we can be arrested and punished.
I didn't buy it.
Then you stole it? Hand over the bread!
No.
Don't argue with me, stranger. It's the law.
It's my bread.
In this city, a stranger cannot say, "This is mine." Give me that bread and show me the man who gave it to you.
No.
It's the law, I tell you!
I don't recognize an evil law.
Well, we'll soon teach you to obey it. Sergeant! Sergeant, this way! Stay where you are, stranger. You can't get away. Stop him! He's a stranger and a thief! Stop him!
Slowly, without running, he crossed the marketplace. And the crowd followed him, shouting.
And then, Tubal?
Nothing, Aina. I couldn't see him anymore.
It was a dangerous thing to do, to give him the bread.
I didn't give it to him, Aynor. He... Now I can say it. I gave a stranger bread.
Tubal, let's go away from here.
Not yet, Milka, in a little while.
Now, Tubal, even the soil is dead here. We're alive. We don't belong here anymore.
No, Aynor. Then where do we belong?
Any place but these ruins.
We can't go until we find out. Did you see him, the stranger?
I heard the noise in the marketplace.
I saw him, Tubal.
What did he say?
I didn't talk to him. I saw him in the marketplace, surrounded by the angry crowd that pushed and threatened. He looked at the people around him calmly, without speaking, as they accused him of breaking the laws of the city.
Over here. This is the man, Sergeant.
We stand for no nonsense from strangers, especially when they break the law.
I have committed no crime.
That's not for you to decide. Come along now.
There are higher laws than those made by your judges.
Not in this city.
Sergeant, you don't have to argue with them.
Of course. Move, or do I have to call the guard?
Wait. Citizens, what if I were to tell you that this is your last day on earth? That tomorrow the sky will open and fire and stones will fall on your houses and crush the city and its people to nothingness.
We don't frighten easily, stranger. I admit you have a voice suited for prophecy, but after all, what are you saying? Only that no man can be sure he'll be alive tomorrow. Stranger, we already know that.
Is there no one here to say the law is evil?
Only for strangers.
Evil has no limits.
Save your speeches for the judge. Sergeant, take him away.
Is there no one to urge mercy and justice? To say that hate is the same as death? No one?
Sergeant, a word in private, if you don't mind.
In making the charge to the judge, I hope you'll remember to point out the stranger's disrespectful manner and his defiance of law.
You don't have to instruct me. I know my duty. Let's go now. Well, where is he? Where'd the stranger go?
Where is he?
They couldn't find him. No one knew where the stranger went. But I knew. I saw him go off, and I was about to say, "There he is." But, Tubal, I didn't. I didn't tell which way he went.
Your name is Lot?
I don't know you. But will you come into my house?
Maybe it will be safer for you if I do not.
There are many things that come before safety.
But listen, just now in the market...
Please come in. I will tell my wife to bring food.
Thank you. Aren't you afraid?
Everyone who lives here is afraid.
Yet you don't drive me away.
Strangers are welcome in my house.
That is not the custom of the city.
I don't observe all its customs.
Lot, this is an evil city.
I have known it for many years.
This is like no other.
I am an old man. Since I left the place where I was born, I have lived in many cities. They were of all degrees of wickedness, but none was good, and yet I lived.
You don't understand, Lot. Just now, in the marketplace, I asked, and there was not one who was willing to speak against evil.
People, too, are of all degrees. Maybe you expect too much from them.
I expect nothing, Lot. I came to see. Don't open the door.
Lot, come out to us!
Don't go out.
I must talk to them. What do you want of me?
There is a stranger in your house.
He is my guest.
He's broken the law. Bring him out to us.
He is a stranger and my guest. I will come out. Punish me instead.
You too, but first the stranger. Bring him out.
Lot, come away from the door.
You are in great danger. I must find a way to get you out.
Call your wife and your sons and daughters and their wives and husbands. Prepare them to leave.
You do not understand. It is you who must leave.
This is an evil city.
I have lived in many evil places, but the evil has not been in me nor my house.
This is different. The city's wickedness is a cry in heaven.
Will you find me a city of justice and love?
That's not my responsibility.
Then I will stay here.
Lot, get ready to leave.
I see. I did not understand at first. I don't have a choice, do I?
No. They'll break the door down. Hurry, Lot. There isn't much time.
Lend a hand, Aenop. We'll have the door down soon.
They say he spoke with sadness.
Who?
The stranger.
What difference does it make?
No difference, I suppose.
He's a stranger, and he broke the laws of the city.
That's what they say.
Don't you believe it?
Well, I don't know.
Stop talking, Aina, and take hold of this battering ram.
Still, I would have liked to hear him.
You're talking dangerous nonsense.
One man, a stranger. What can he do against the city?
Aina, I warn you, be careful.
Let him go just this once. Why don't you let him go?
Did you hear that, Lot?
Hear what?
Outside. Someone said let him go.
Does it surprise you?
Still, there weren't 10. Not even 10. And besides, it's too late now. Come, Lot, it's too late.
Lot? Lot?
Hurry, wife. We have a long way to
go. No, wait. Lot, let's stop here for a while.
He said he would wait until we reached the hills. We must hurry.
Lot. Do you remember the first time we left the place where we lived? I was young. I could walk all day.
I remember.
We've built so many homes and left them. I'm tired, Lot.
All right. We'll rest. But only for a few minutes.
The wind is rising. It's a hot wind. It will scorch the vegetables in our garden.
There would have been a good yield this year.
I wonder who will harvest it.
It doesn't matter.
Lad, I just remembered I left the dough to rise on the table.
It doesn't matter, I tell you.
I know, I just thought of it. How peaceful the city looks from here.
We see only the houses, not the people.
There's no one on the plane. We're the first family to leave. That's strange, isn't it? Isn't it?
Let us rest and then go on.
Where are the others? Answer me. There will be no others, will there?
It's no use asking questions.
Not I want to go back.
We cannot.
Who is he, this stranger, that he says leave and we leave?
I'm not sure now that it's because of him.
Then let's go back.
No. There is a time when the things that were are no longer to be born and we must leave.
I'm tired of moving again. I'm afraid to be alone in the wilderness.
What are you saying? There are people in cities on the other side of the hills.
Are there? How long will we live there?
Come. It is time to go.
Yes, Lot. The wind is stronger.
Walk faster. We are almost at
the
hills.
There's lightning, but no thunder. Why is there no thunder?
Faster, faster.
The sky is red. I'm frightened, Lot.
Don't stop.
Storm is over the city. Poor people.
Don't look back. The stranger warned us. Don't look
it's
back.
It's my world. I have a right to look.
No. Close your eyes.
I have a right to see the end of my world.
Then fire and stones rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and upon all the cities of the plain. The sky was bright with terrible flames. But there was none to see except Lot's wife, who turned back to look. Then stood unseeing, fixed to the spot where she turned. For the cities were destroyed and all the inhabitants, except three who stood among the ruins.
What are you doing, Tubal?
Can't you see? I'm putting the stones together to rebuild my oven.
No, Tubal, no.
Don't be afraid, Milka.
We must go away from here.
No, it's safe now. It's no longer Sodom. Now it's earth for growing wheat and stones for building houses.
Tubal, ghosts don't need houses.
People will come from beyond the hills, Einar. They'll want bread. I'm a good baker, Einar. They'll like my bread.
What makes you so sure that people will come?
I know what happened and why.
Oh? The stranger told you?
No. No. Anyone who looked, really looked, could have known.
The city was doomed because it was evil. And if we build another city, why should you expect that it will be different? I expect nothing. But at least there is a chance. Maybe even Sodom and Gomorrah could have been saved. Here, give me that flat stone. It'll do for the roof of the oven. On the morning before the destruction, before the stranger came to Sodom, he stood with Abraham on the hills overlooking the cities of the plain. And here Abraham was told the fate of the city. And being a man, he could not accept the judgment without appeal.
It is not right. Be careful, Abraham. When he came to create the first man, he foresaw that both righteous and wicked would issue from him.
Abraham, there were 10 generations from Adam to Noah. And all these generations continued to provoke him before he brought upon them the waters of the flood. The time has come for Sodom.
Still I have a complaint.
I am sent to do the work. Don't bring the complaint to me.
And
Abraham stood before the Lord and drew near and said, Wilt thou indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? If there are 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou not forgive the place for the 50 that are therein? That be far from thee, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do justly? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will forgive all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Perhaps there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 45. And Abraham spoke unto him yet again and said, Perhaps there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And Abraham said, Behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Perhaps there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And Abraham spoke again, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Perhaps 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left off speaking to Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. In the early morning, Abraham went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked out toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and saw the smoke rolling upward toward the hills. It was the end of a judgment, and it may be that he heard in his mind the report of its execution.
3 were saved. 1 who gave a loaf of bread, another who saw but did not tell, and a 3rd who said in the night, Let him go. Only 3. Among all the inhabitants of the city, there were not even 10 righteous men.
We have seen the dead cities, many in a lifetime, and the memory is vivid. Even today, faces turn upward in expectant fear of the falling fire and destruction, and voices ask how the city may be saved and the world survive. From long ago, from the beginning of the world, there is a warning and an answer.
Look to your cities, but do not build a roof for protection. Instead, look to your people and count your righteous men, for they are your safeguard and your shelter.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable Edgar J. Nathan, Jr., Justice of the Supreme Court of the State of New York and Chairman of the Eternal Light Radio Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Judge Nathan.
This month we celebrate the birthdays of two spiritual Americans whose lives exemplify righteousness and justice. George Washington was described as the intrepid and unselfish warrior, the magistrate who knew no glory but his country's good. Abraham Lincoln described Americans as those who love liberty unselfishly for all men. Carl Sandburg recently reminded us that, like an ancient psalmist, Lincoln warned Congress, "Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. We will be remembered in spite of ourselves. No personal significance or insignificance can spare one or another of us. The fiery trail through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation." The striking story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, so poignantly dramatized in today's program, brings to us the ancient biblical teaching of the supreme value of righteousness. Unrighteousness and injustice are prevalent both in private and in public life today, and constitute potent and dangerous threats to our democracy. The world is always in judgment. When Abraham was pleading to God for the preservation of Sodom and Gomorrah, the argument raised two questions. Is it the quality of men which sustains the world? Is it numbers which count? The answer came clearly. It is the quality of men, their righteousness, decency, and regard for their fellow men. The day need never come in America when there will not be 10 men of courage, righteous men seeking to do justice, leading us in the never-ending battle to sustain and strengthen our democratic way of life. And may we all follow as intrepid and unselfish warriors, knowing no glory but our country's good, and loving liberty unselfishly for all men. As Tubal said in the play, "It's an evil world, but maybe we will learn." To which the stranger replied, "There isn't time, Tubal. Soon it will be too late." And always must we recall the closing words. "Look to your cities, but do not build a roof for protection. Instead, look to your people and count your righteous men, for they are your safeguard and your shelter."
Thank you, Judge Nathan. Our eternal light drama today, Not Even 10, was written by Joseph Mindell. It was the second of 15 outstanding programs originally presented on the Eternal Light, recreated now to mark the Eternal Light's 15th year of broadcasting. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Leon Janney, Bernard Lenroe, Jan Miner, Alan Bergman, Morris Tarplin, Mitzi Gould, Danny Arco, Iva Francis. The narrator was Norman Rose. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed by Parker Gibbs. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.